The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We take you on tours of strange tales from our radio newsrooms across the country each week. Today, we've got a full itinerary, stretching from your piggy bank all the way to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. First, we're checking in on the fate of the nickel. Is it on track to disappear just like the penny? Then we're headed to a rainforest cafe to hear about a surprise visitor who appeared in its crocodile pool. From there, we're going to look in on how to book a hot tub boat this summer. Yep, you're imagining that correctly. It's a boat with a hot tub on it. After all that, we'll end the show in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's garage. And no, that's not where you park. It's actually where you can personally rock out on instruments tucked away on the second floor of the museum. Just before I recorded this, I was at the grocery store. And when I was at the checkout, I could see the cashier sigh at his change drawer. I was a little confused about what was going on, but then he eventually plopped a big handful of nickels in my hand, and I understood. 5-cent coins have been a feature of U.S. currency since 1794. But the 5-cent nickels, they didn't come around until 1866, when the U.S. Mint started making 5-cent pieces out of copper and nickel. Before then, they were made of silver. The Mint has already stopped making pennies, that's the 1-cent piece, with the last batch of those produced in November 2025. Here's the Dana and Parks show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City, featuring Dana Wright, Scott Parks, and on this episode, Dan Weinbaum, discussing the uncertain future of the nickel this week.
Did you hear that the nickel may be going the way of the penny?
It should.
Really?
Yes. Doesn't it cost more to make the nickel by far than the nickel is worth?
Yes, it does. Story here. Last year, the United States Mint pressed the last penny. Now they're talking about getting rid of the nickel because it costs more to make a nickel than a nickel is worth.
It's like 75% copper.
So someone asked me a question over the weekend. I think it was one of our listeners on Facebook. I bought a pair of shoes that happened to be $19.99, and I was bragging about it because I bought them in a very unusual location, and that is Natural Grocers down the street. They were selling shoes for $19.99. Look, I'm wearing them.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah. And a listener wrote, if we've gotten rid of the penny, why is anyone still charging $0.99 for any purchase? And that's an interesting question. Now, taxes are always going to make it a skewed amount anyway. But do you see, if we get rid of the nickel and we get rid of the penny and then there goes the dime, are we just going to round up to the nearest dollar and there is no sense?
But okay. I see what you did there. If you pay by card, you can still charge pennies. But if you're going to pay cash, then you have to figure out, okay, what do we do with the pennies? What do we do if
right,
we get,
but people selling wares don't know. Like, let's say, I bet you 90% of people pay with card over cash. Let's look that up.
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet it's 90% today pay with a card or a debit
Jason,
card.
Can you look that up?
That's code, Jason, for will you look that up. I bet you 90 to 10, okay? So as a seller of any goods, you have to assume that by far the majority of people are paying on card.
So would you care to guess what it costs to make a penny?
Isn't it 5 cents or 6 cents?
3.6.
Okay.
Cents. For a nickel?
7.
13.8 cents.
Oh, we should have killed the nickel before we killed the penny.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Federal Reserve Financial Services,
yes,
as of this year, U.S. consumers predominantly use credit cards. 70% of retail purchases with credit card cash used for just 14%.
That's way higher than I thought.
What would you guess on every transaction that you make?
Okay.
Whether it's going out to dinner, going to the store, swinging by Wendy's, What percentage do you use a card?
100%.
You never, ever use cash.
Do you know the last time I used cash? And you're going to laugh, and it's once a week.
Left, right, center?
When we gamble, which is not gambling, because that would not be legal, and we play left, right, center, and I need three $1 bills.
Charity
I
fundraiser.
I steal them out of Johnny's wallet. I have not used cash.
That is the only time you ever use cash.
Why would I have? When would I have cash from what? You would have to have cash to break the cash to then have change in cash. And I don't ever, I skip step A.
Well, debit cards and credit cards are so ubiquitous now that it's just easier and more lightweight. Just use your credit card.
Does this go by? Do we also never have a money clip anymore? Remember your dad's money clip? My dad used to have a gold. It wasn't gold and whatever it was. It looked like a
gold-plated
car seat belt.
Yeah.
And he would put that big old wad of cash, by the way, in his money clip. And if I needed something to go to the store, whatever, he'd go, give me my money clip.
Those are more like the modern man's wallet instead of the George
Costanza. He never had a wallet. Yes, my dad never had a wallet.
Use these things that look like old school money clips for our credit cards, and they just fit right in your front pocket.
I would say I probably use money 25% of the time.
You're probably a higher percentage. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
25%.
Because, what is it, 60% you're writing checks?
A listener also called in to share their perspective on why paying with plastic has its drawbacks in a world where physical cash seems to be fading away.
I mean, this is a buzzy topic for my life. I'm an event planner, and many, many, many of the vendors, 80%, if not more, I'd say, I didn't actually write it down and take statistics because I don't do that math in my head, but people will get charged, my clients will get charged a fee if they are using a credit card. So it used to be, let's just call it the florist, that if you exceeded maybe a $5,000 mark, then they would charge you 3% extra to cover their fanny on what they are charged to process your credit card.
Okay. So, yeah.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
In addition to change drawers at the grocery store, nickels can also often be found in the crocodile pools of Rainforest Cafe locations. The crocodile animatronics are usually in their own little pool of water, and they're often surrounded by change that diners throw in to make wishes. So while it doesn't have a real crocodile, the Rainforest Cafe at the Great Lakes Crossing Mall in Auburn Hills, Michigan, did recently feature some real wildlife in the form of a tiny turtle hatchling. Here's Amanda Forrester out of Odyssey station WWJ News Radio in Detroit, getting the details on this discovery from Sarah Matuzik of Happy Snapper Rescue.
So why don't you start with the story of how you ended up with the hatchling?
Oh, sure. Well, it was just a few days ago. I actually had a volunteer that was helping me with cleaning a lot of the turtle enclosures, and she's now a scuba diver, I think, at Rainforest Cafe, helping with the aquariums there. And one of the patrons at the Rainforest Cafe found the little turtle in the crocodile pool and reported it to one of the employees, and then that's how it ended up getting to me, because the volunteer or the employee there knew who to call. So,
and you guys have an idea of how it ended up there?
So I would have to guess, obviously, that somebody found it outside, maybe nearby. I don't know if they found it at the mall, you know, specifically, but somehow they brought it with them, you know, or found it and brought it there. And I don't know, you know, was it a mom or something that's like, hey, we can't keep that, and they just impulsively left it there, or just, I don't know.
So if you find a turtle, what should you do with it? Like, sure. Instead of leaving it in Great Lakes Crossing.
So typically, if you're finding a hatchling turtle, really the best thing is to most of the time you can just let them do their thing, because the hatchlings, like, have instincts to know how to find their way. If it's in a predicament and, you know, it's by a busy road or a parking lot, sometimes we can give them a boost to safety. If we know it's an aquatic turtle, we can move it to water, but typically they can find their way. If you're finding an injured turtle, for sure, call for help. There's a list of wildlife rehabilitators online, or call local nature center. They often have phone numbers to refer you. But with the hatchlings, usually it's best to just leave them. I know everyone's worried because they're so small and they want to help, but most of the time we can leave the hatchlings where they are.
And is there anything I haven't asked you that you just want to make sure our listeners know about, either what you guys are doing or something else about turtles that you just want to make sure people are aware of?
Sure. So I think not everyone realizes that turtles are becoming endangered. A lot of their populations are actually in decline. And a big part of that is collection to keep as pets. So it's always best to keep the turtles in the wild, you know. Unless they are injured, then there is help for them. So best not to leave them there. There's always help.
We'll jump out of the Rainforest Cafe crocodile pool to check out hot tub boats before heading to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's garage when we're back from the break on this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. Would you rather stay on land and enjoy a hot tub, or head out on the water for a boat ride? Well, thanks to the growing trend of hot tub boats, you might not have to choose. This trend could hit the Twin Cities in Minnesota soon, and reporter Tori Van Oot of Axios joined Adam Carter and Jordana Green of The Adam and Jordana Show out of Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities to learn about it.
All right, let's get you some fun.
Okay.
Hot tub boats.
Yeah.
I saw the photo. We were debating whether or not we'd do this, and Jordana thought, like, no, if you have to show up with a bunch of strangers, you wouldn't do it.
Right. So, I mean, because I want to go nude.
So rent the whole thing for yourself.
Oh, Jordan, I'm not sure if you're allowed to rent it nude.
Can't that do it. I know. You no, could, no naked
you could,
hot tub?
You could. I will answer that in some of our follow-up coverage.
Thank you.
Yes, the park board tomorrow is supposed to vote on an agreement with a company, Minnesota Hot Tub Boats, to allow these little... They're exactly what they sound like, right? That's a little electric vessel. They go slow, so you don't need, like, a boating license or any really know-how there. But it's a little hot tub that floats, surrounded by a little deck. And so you and up to five of your friends, if it passes the park board, will be able to rent one at Boom Island on the Mississippi River this summer. And go for a little joyride, go for a little cruise, take in the skyline scene from a bubbling, warm jacuzzi.
I think it sounds great in theory. It really sounds great.
Lots of things sound great in theory.
And I read that they're self-cleaning. I read it. I just, I don't know what that means, but I don't know. Like, I just, yeah, I don't know that I would do it.
Well, I think that means, like, recirculates the water so it's clean. You know, it's like a pool filtration type system. You're not, like, sitting into, like, warm bath water that someone else is sitting in. But, you know, it costs some money. It'll be over $300. So, you know, divvy that up between you and your friends. But I can say this is not the first time this has been launched, right? They're in Chicago and Seattle and Milwaukee, some other places. And my friends over at Axios Chicago tried the new hot tub boat there, I think it was last year, and they said it was a lot of fun. They said they felt kind of like a little celebrity. People were like waving from the bridge or riverfront above. They said it was a, I don't know if it's the exact same kind of boat as it'll be here, the exact same model, so I didn't put this in our story, but theirs was a little tricky to steer. And the other piece of intel is there's also a weight limit, a combined weight limit for the craft. So you do have to report everybody's weights on the form.
Oh,
so
come on.
Think about, I don't know if the form will be the same here or not, but they said that was a little bit awkward having to write down our weights and get in our bathing suit in front of our coworkers. So maybe it's more with a, but you know, it could be a cool date, you know, very magical date night.
Yeah, not if you're writing down your weight.
No.
Sorry. Nobody
well,
wants
maybe,
to.
Maybe close the eyes or something for that. But yeah, so kind of exciting. A new thing coming to the park, you know, the Boom Island Park there. And the hope by the man behind the company is to expand it. So Anoka city officials have been talking about something up in Anoka. He thinks this would be great on, like, Lake Minnetonka. So keep an eye out.
You know, Lake Minnetonka always makes me think of that famous scene from Purple Rain, which then, of course, makes me think of Prince. He's one of the musicians who's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a museum that's dedicated to rock music and located in Cleveland, Ohio. You've probably heard of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before, but you might not know that it's actually interactive. If you go to the museum's second floor, there's a place called the Garage. In it, you can pick up instruments and rock out yourself. I had no idea that existed until I heard about it on Own the Road with Kelly and Bob, a travel show out of Odyssey Station KRLD 1080 in Dallas. Hosts Kelly and Bob Phillips stopped by the museum and chatted with John Gerke, Director of Visitor Engagement, as well as tour guide Alyssa Matthews.
And then here we are going to the second floor. We've got the garage here. So this is where we actually have musicians from the Rock Hall staff. They're called the Mechanics because they work in the garage, you know.
Makes sense.
And they come out and they play music with fans that are here and touring, or we've got stations where you can learn how to play and like teach yourself. So if you want to join, you can learn how to play the guitar, bass, drums, keys, whatever you'd like.
Gerke also explained some more about the exhibit.
And this is not your traditional, typical exhibit per se. It is an experience. It is a hands-on, tactile visitor experience where a visitor can come and pick up a guitar and sit down at the drums and make music and learn a bass riff to their favorite, you know, Van Halen song, or learn that keyboard riff to their favorite Journey song. And if you are a player, you can jam out with our house band. So the garage is a really, really special place. And then level three is the actual Hall of Fame itself. That's where all the signatures of our several hundred inductees are represented. It's also where we have a film called The Power of Rock Experience. It's like a 12-minute light and sound spectacular that sort of puts you in the seat of what it's like to be at an induction ceremony.
There's another, more rustic option, too.
And then in here is the acoustic lounge. So same thing, just acoustic guitars and ukuleles. And then in that third area over there, that's where the band plays with fans and other people when they come in.
How
and,
fun.
That is like usually for like a couple hours throughout the day. They're not here all day, but it's a really cool aspect of it. So we've got the new 2025 exhibit around this corner. And then past that, we've got the full gallery of the signatures of every inductee in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Every inductee.
Yep. So it's organized by year. We've got their full signatures, and then it's a way we do also offer, like, during the fan days, like, you can kind of, like, sketch over them and, like, take a little piece with you. So that's really cool what we can do with what we've got. Here you can also actually vote for future inductees. So you can voice your choice. You can add in if you want to do it. You just need to connect an email address, I think.
Okay.
And then down there you can see kind of the leaderboard as it stands right now. I can't even believe Usher is eligible, honestly. Like, I grew up with Usher, so it's crazy to think 25 years since your first album.
Okay, here's number one.
Yep.
Linkin Park.
Yeah, Pink for sure.
Styx, definitely.
Boston.
Yeah, those top 10.
Boston's not already in, seriously.
And Motley Crue either? That's crazy.
Snoop, REO Speedwagon.
Wait, Barry Manilow. Ooh, I can't believe a lot of these aren't already in there.
Takes a while with a lot of bands.
I love it for me. And as somebody who has a mom who taught me her appreciation for music, I love it for her and for anybody else who gets to experience somebody like that. Like,
okay,
it's a really
the
cool
song
part
of your first heartbreak. I know you've got one. I mean, don't you remember when you broke up and there was that song playing? It was like, this
know.
Is me.
I don't even know.
Oh, for
know.
Me.
What's
yeah,
yours?
Endless Love.
Oh,
seventh grade.
Wow.
That's, I don't know.
I mean, there are always those songs that take you back to.
Yeah, probably like a Paramore one, honestly.
Paramore.
Yeah. Let's talk about Hall of Famers. How are they even picked?
There's only one thing that makes somebody eligible to be nominated, and that is 25 years after the release of their first record. And that's pretty cool because there's a different version of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that could have said, okay, it's 25 years plus 5 Grammys and 10 top 10 hits and a couple of gold or platinum records. Certainly, many of our inductees have achieved tremendous commercial success. But commercial success alone is not what gets you inducted into the Rock Hall. If it was, like, the Grateful Dead wouldn't be inducted. They had one top 40 hit in their entire yep. career. So the way it works is once you're eligible, that 25-year window has passed, we have a nominating committee. It's about 30 or 40 individuals, and these are some pretty impressive folks who have been steeped in the industry for much of their career. They could be journalists or scholars. They could be producers or, you know, label executives, artist management. Even some artists themselves sit on our committee. Think about someone like Questlove from The Roots, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, Sheryl Crow. These artists sit on our nominating committee. It's their job to every year build the ballot. And they all bring names to the table, names of artists who are eligible. And I'd love to be a fly in the wall in that room, by the way. It's their job to produce a ballot. That ballot is anywhere from 13 to 19 names, 12 to 1,500 voters. The largest body of Rock Hall voters are living inductees.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, the Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, and Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas. You can find these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.